I love Zion Hill Church, too. You know, I passed a lot of churches on the way over here this morning. I came from Moultrie. Took me about an hour, 15, 20 minutes or so. And as I was driving, I just thought about it. As I was passing all these little churches, I'd see two or three cars in the parking lot, four or five. And then I pulled up in here in Zion Hill, and I was like, man, where am I going to park? I had to park out there in the grass on the other side of the road. I want to say, first off, your Father is pleased with you. Zion Hill Church, Keith Lloyd, Zion Hill Church, your daddy is pleased with you this morning. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, that's what we're waiting on. We want to hear that when we get there. Amen? But I want to go ahead and tell you, he's already saying that right now. You know, I don't know of another church, and I'm not just saying this to puff you up. If you know me, I don't do that. But I don't know of another church on the planet that is as special to me as Zion Hill Church is. I love you guys. And I didn't come last year. And I love what Keith said, because it's true. There's been times I left. We what was it, 2000? No, 98, probably when we met. And became good friends. And I left here for about 12, 13 years, up in middle Georgia. And there'd be periods of a year or more sometimes that we wouldn't even talk, wouldn't chat. But I agree, Keith. You are my Jonathan, you my David, whoever. You know, we've got a special bond, and I appreciate that more than you know, more than you'll ever know. And maybe it's because of how much I appreciate Keith. I don't think so. I think you guys are special. This is a special church. I mean, I look out. It's been a little over a year since I've been here, and I look out, and there's a whole lot of faces that I don't know. I've been to a lot of churches. I go to a lot of churches, and most every time I walk in, they's the same old folks. I know who's going to be there, and I can tell when somebody's missing, because I'm used to seeing that face. So I'm excited to be here this morning and look around and see a whole lot of faces that I don't know. You know what that tells me? That tells me y'all doing what you're supposed to be doing. That tells me that you are an oasis for love and truth in a world that needs it desperately today. So guys, I want to talk to you a little bit. Now, if you were here, and again, Zion Hill special to me. You guys have been, how can I say this? You know, when I did come back from middle Georgia, I called Keith. I was like, man, there's a whole lot of stuff in me I need to get out, and I need a pulpit to do it. And Keith said, come on. So you guys have been kind of a testing ground for me. Everything that I do on a daily basis, everything that I teach, everything that I, you know, try to instill in others that I work with on a daily basis, this was the proving ground for it, you guys. So I came here back in 2016, and I taught through a series that I called my Restored Teaching. Anybody remember that? You remember the Restored Teaching? It was an acronym, and we built off of each letter. The first letter of the R is relationship. I want to revisit that a little bit this morning, but let me just remind you, if you haven't, go back and listen to that, because I'm telling you, it's life-changing. Not just because I taught it, because it's truth that transforms lives. I see it every day. So my foundation of everything that I teach, everything that I live, it is the filter that I live life through, is what I call my restored teaching. It's all about relationship. We've got an enemy that wants to come and cause breakdown in our relationship. How many of you know you've got an enemy? He's active. He's vital. He's here. He's working every day, all day. We'll talk more about him this week too. We also moved into that third letter S, is separation. We've got to learn to separate ourselves from the thoughts, the feelings, the impressions of the enemy. He's constantly at work, so I've got to learn every thought in my head is not from me. Can I get amen? Every thought you have in your head doesn't come from God, doesn't come from your own head. You've got an enemy that's constantly feeding you thoughts, feelings, impressions. Count on it. Statistically, whoever does this tells me that we have on average between 60 and 100,000 thoughts a day. Now, this is just Mitch talking. I think the 60 is probably us guys. The 100 is probably you ladies, right? You know what I'm talking about? So if we have between 60 and 100, let's just say 100. We'll use 100 for our talk here. 100,000 thoughts a day running through your mind. Same people tell me that 80 to 85% of those thoughts are negative. Would you agree with that? 80 to 85% of the thoughts that run through your head on a regular daily basis are negative. I'm here to tell you, I ain't got time to teach you, but I'm here to tell you the conclusion is this. That's the devil talking to you. 80 to 85% of what's going on in your head is not God. It's not original to you. It is your invisible enemy that's at work. And we have to learn to separate ourselves from his influence. You with me? We do that through taking our thoughts captive so that we can walk in obedience to God, not the enemy. We've got to repent when we are in agreement with the enemy and not God. We've got to put this into practice, exercise it. That's the restored teaching. I knew when I taught that here before that I was leaving out a whole lot in the area of relationship. Because the primary focus of the restored teaching is on the enemy. Because we are, Paul said this, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. You remember reading that in Scripture? Well, I can quote that, but that doesn't mean that I'm not ignorant of Satan's devices. I guarantee you we are. I was woefully ignorant. So the primary focus of the restored teaching, as long as everything else I teach, is focused on the enemy, how the enemy works, how the enemy talks to us through things like accusation and bitterness and envy and jealousy, rejection, fear, addictions. I taught all that stuff to y'all. That's the enemy. That's what he does. But in all of that, I haven't focused on and zeroed in on the most important aspect, and that is my relationship with God. That's really what I want to spend some time on today and through the remainder of this week is drilling into this thing of relationship with God. So if you don't mind, I'm going to back up and do a little refreshing for you. And then we're going to build off of that as we move through the remainder of today and the rest of this week. Is that all right? I appreciate something Keith said. I know how hard it is to get to church every night from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I realize that. My life and your life is crazy, it's chaotic. It's the truth. We got way too much going on. None of us have enough margin in our life. We just stretch from here to yon. I realize that. But I do ask with Keith, please, if at all possible, come back. I'm going to drive an hour and a half. Anybody drive further than that to get here this morning? Thank you, brother. I do got a little cough going on. I'm going to work all day and drive an hour and a half to get over here with you guys. That's my commitment to you. That's my sacrifice that I'm going to make from my wife and my kids. And I'm asking you to do the same thing. Again, I ain't trying to step on your toes. I ain't trying to bash you. But I'm telling you that what I have to share with you this week is going to help you if you'll put it to practice and apply it into your life. Please come back. That's all I'm going to say about that for now. Take your Bibles. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 12. The Gospel of Mark chapter 12. I'm a simple guy. I realize there are other people who are a whole lot smarter than me. There are other people who got a whole lot more education and sense than I do. I realize that. So I'm going to dumb it down for you. Don't take it as, you know, an insult. I just have to have it dumbed down for me in order for me to understand it. I've come to this conclusion. I am a simple man. I'm not quoting Leonard Skinner, but I am a simple man. And I need truth to be simple in order to understand it and apply it. As I was preparing to come and be with you guys, I've been sitting before the Lord, seeking the Lord. Because how many of you know it don't really matter what I have to say? I got a saying. My opinion will get you a dime's worth of coffee. That's it. That's all my opinion is worth, two nickels. My opinion don't matter, but what God says matters. Have another saying. You've heard me say this, those who have been around. Any way of thinking that don't match how God thinks, that's a form of insanity. And by that definition, we're all insane. I need the truth of God. I have to have the truth of God in such a way that I can apply it to my life, or what good is it? As I was seeking God on your behalf, thinking about, praying about what to bring to you, I woke up one night in the middle of the night with this phrase ringing in my head. Principles without presence have no power. Principles without presence have no power. I didn't really know what that meant, so I had to spend a little more time talking to God. Here's what I came up with. I believe it's what God's trying to say. I teach excellent principles. I do. I'm not being proud. I'm not bragging. But what I teach is excellent. Excellent principles. But principles without the presence of God are powerless. You can know it. You can know it well enough to teach it better than I do. But principles without the presence are powerless to change us. I sit here looking out at you. A lot of you guys have been in church longer than me. You've got principles. You've got understanding. You've got knowledge. You have information between your ears. Are you like me? I'm educated beyond my level of obedience. Anybody else? I'm way educated beyond my level of application or my level of obedience. I've got a lot of knowledge, but principles without presence have no power. I desperately, you desperately need the presence of God. His presence. 5 seconds of His presence will radically change you. You can have 5 years of knowledge and principle applied, but in 5 seconds of His presence, it changes you. Thank God for principles. We need them. I need principles to guide me in my life, but I need more than that, the presence of Almighty God. I asked Keith, as you guys were singing this morning, I said, you set this up for me? He said, nope, never do. Never tell them what to do. The songs we sang this morning are all about our daddy, all about the love that he has for us. I am a child of God. Man, I love that song. I love it. It's one of those I sing to myself all the time. The Bible tells us to encourage ourselves with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. That's one of them that I use. You ever wake up just not feeling it? Come on, don't act all spiritual to me. You ever wake up not feeling it? Am I the only one? Sunday morning is usually the day I wake up not feeling it. By the time I get to church, when I got 3 boys to get ready, my wife's always running late, bless her heart, but I don't care what time we got to leave. It's just the way it is. I love her. That's the way it is. So by the time we walk in church, I'm just, anybody else? All right? I have to understand in those moments, I'm about to enter into the presence of the living God. Now let me back up and rephrase that, because truth is, I'm already in the presence of the living God. I was in the presence of the living God when my boys was acting the fool. I was in the presence of the living God when my wife's dragging around and I'm ready to go. I'm in the presence of the living God every moment of every day. Amen? But am I resting in, drawing on the presence, or am I relying on some principles? Come on now. That's what I've done a lot of my life. I know what I'm supposed to be doing right now. I'm supposed to love my wife like Christ loved the church. So, Father, give me the power, give me the strength to love on my bride while she's still not ready. That's trying to apply a principle. And it helps. But what do I need? The presence. I need the presence of the living God. Principles without presence have no power. Guys, I'm here to tell you, there's not a moment of the day you are not in the presence of the Almighty Living God. We are sons, and I appreciate my brother. I heard you, whether anybody else heard you or not, of the Living God. The one and only, the Almighty God, the Mighty God. I am in the presence of the Son of the Almighty Living God. That's who I am. That's who you are. I've been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus Christ has purchased me. I've been adopted into the family of God. I belong to Him. He belongs to me. Amen. Amen. Y'all sang it like you believed it. Do you believe it? I'm a simple guy. You ain't got no clock on the wall. Y'all in trouble. Mark chapter 12. I ain't forgot. Verse 28. this is what has been dubbed the Great Commandment. You ever heard of the Great Commandment? I promise you, I ain't going to read much to you this week you hadn't read in your Bible. I hope you've read it, because it's there. There ain't nothing new. But I want to try to bring some presence in with the principles this week. Are you with me? Here's what the Bible says in verse 28. I'm reading from that old King James, not because I believe Paul used it, but it's just the one I grew up with, all right? One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? This word first is not first in chronological order. Which is the most important, the most significant? What's the greatest commandment? Jesus said this, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Usually we didn't even have to say this, but now we got to say this. There's only one. There's only one God. There's one Lord. One faith, one baptism. There's only one. It's Him. He's who we need to focus on. Now, I know we live in a world, in a society where there's all these different ways to God. Don't believe it. There's only one God, one way, Jesus Christ. That's it. He's one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is the most important thing you will ever hear. I'm that simple. When Jesus, the second member of the Godhead, God the Word who became flesh, when he answered the question, what's the most important thing? You need to pay attention. And he said, this is it. There's one God, and he is the one we are to love with everything we have. With all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our might, everything that I am, I need to be in love and relationship with the living God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That is the absolute most important aspect of this life, period. And I got bills to pay just like you. I got kids to raise and a wife to deal with. I've got life just like you. But the most important thing is my relationship with the living God. It has to be first. Jesus continues and says in verse 31, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. So he gives us here two commandments. Love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So to me, this is all about relationship. It's relationship with God, relationship with myself, and then relationship with you. Notice what Jesus said in the second. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is something we don't focus on a whole lot. At least most of the churches I'm around don't. We don't focus on what it looks like to have a proper relationship with yourself. But I'm here to tell you guys, the only way you're ever going to have right relationship with yourself is to have right relationship with Him. It starts there. We live in a world today with major identity crisis. We don't know who we are. I'm on Facebook. I don't use it much. But where does this crap, excuse me, where does stuff come from? On Facebook. Pardon me. Forgive me. Where does it come from? I mean, it's like you all always, there's just some new thing happening. Have you noticed the newest one? You're supposed to take a profile picture from 2009, and then you put your profile picture of today, and how much has time changed you? And I'm like, who is really doing this? And I see some of y'all doing this, but nonetheless, I've seen this one a lot recently, last day. We got Bruce Jenner, and now we got Caitlyn Jenner. A lot's changed in that old boy's life since 2009. Huh? We got an identity crisis in our world today. What we've done is we've taken the role and the responsibility of identity unto ourselves. We have decided that we get to determine who we are. That's the problem. Because my Bible tells me you don't even know why you do what you do. Bible tells me only God knows my thoughts. Only God knows what's going on inside of me. I don't have the right, the power, or the authority to determine what's right for me. Only God does. We've got an identity crisis. Now, I'm picking on Caitlin or Bruce or whoever they are. But the reality is that same identity crisis is sitting right in the pew. I'm going to make it a little easier on you. With you. All right? That takes pressure off you, right? You can look at all them folks sitting beside you. They the ones. They the ones. They got the problem. But the problem is there's somebody sitting beside you and they saying, they the ones. They got the problem. And we're right. Now, again, I don't want to hurt your feelings. That ain't what I'm here for. But would you agree with me that if we're honest, we struggle with knowing who we are? Who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? I've already taught you this. I believe those are the three key questions that every one of us struggle with in our life. That's four. Three key questions. My problem is I don't know. I don't know who I am. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what my purpose is. And if I look to myself to try to solve that dilemma, to try to come up with the answers, or worse yet, look to Facebook, or look to social media, or look to somebody else looking for who I'm supposed to be, what my purpose is, why I'm here, I am going to have a mess. And guys, that's exactly where we are in our society today. We have a major identity crisis going on. Are you with me? I know I'm a simple guy, but I believe the answer is this simple. The only way I will ever know who I am is to know who He is. The only way I will ever have answers for my questions is to have relationship with an almighty God who is my daddy, who loves me, who created me and formed me in my mother's womb. And I can have relationship with Him and I can ask Him and I can let Him tell me who I am. That's the only way. I believe that's one reason why Jesus says this is the greatest commandment. You've got to have relationship with God. You've got to be born again. Now, my message usually, I'm not an evangelist in the sense of I don't focus on salvation. Most of what I do is talk to Christian folks. But let me go ahead and make it clear. If you're going to have relationship with God the Father, the only way to do it is to come by faith through Jesus Christ. What He's accomplished on the cross of Calvary, His death, burial, and resurrection has paid the price for my sin. The wages of death are, or the wages of sin are death. He paid the price of death. It's paid. It's done. Amen? My faith and my trust in Him and what He's accomplished opens the door of relationship, not just with Jesus. But Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So guys, yes, I want you saved. I want you born again. I want you in relationship with Jesus. But Jesus is saying the most important commandment is to be in relationship with God, the Father. You got to know your daddy. Guys, we operate. We'll talk more about this as we move ahead this week. But most of us operate as an orphan. We have an orphan mindset. We have an orphan identity. We live as if we don't have a father. We don't know who our Father is. We have misconstrued ideas about who He is. We've got all kind of reasons why that is. We'll get into that. But I have to know my Father as He says He is. Not as I've made up in my own mind. Not as I maybe have even been taught in the church. But as He says He is. Are you with me? It's all about relationship. What interferes with my relationship with my Heavenly Father? I ain't got time to cover it all today. But I believe there's two main areas, and I've already taught you this. I'm refreshing your memory. Two main areas. Religion definitely interferes with my relationship with the Heavenly Father. I'm going to talk about this more, so you've got to come back. In the Old Testament, God projects himself, gives us the understanding of who he is in judgment and in anger. Am I right? A lot of people struggle with this. A lot of people struggle with the God of the Old Testament. Why would God annihilate entire nations, women, men, boys, girls, kill them all? That's what God said. In the Old Testament, God is dealing with a nation coming out of Egypt, coming into relationship with God, and they need to be pure and be completely isolated from any other influence because they did not have the indwelling presence of God. All they had was the leading of God. God had to protect his people. Amen? But in the last book of the Old Testament, God said this. We'll come here next week. Malachi, last book, last chapter, God says, there's coming one, and I'm going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons, and the hearts of the sons to the fathers, unless a curse falls upon you. You remember reading this? And then for 400 years, there was silence from heaven. Last thing God said, there's one coming, and we're going to turn the hearts of fathers to sons and sons to fathers and nothing else for a period of 400 years. Can you imagine? Maybe you can. Let's just be real. A lot of us live like that. We live our lives based off of principles without any real presence. When's the last time you were in the presence of the living God? When's the last time you heard from God personally? Don't misunderstand me. Please come to church. Brother Keith needs to preach to you. But how many of you know we need to hear from God ourselves? We need to have an intimate personal relationship with a living God where we are able to hear him speak to our hearts on a daily, regular basis. Without it, all the principles in the world will not produce change because principles without presence have no power. Are you with me? 400 years of silence. God's not speaking. But all of a sudden, here comes John the Baptist. Y'all remember John the Baptist? He said, repent. It's not a popular message today, but it's important. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's one coming whose shoes I'm not worthy to even latch and unlatch. There's one coming. He's going to take away the sin of the world. There's one coming. One day, John's out doing what he does. And there he is. John said, there he is. There's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus came to John and says, I'm ready to be baptized. Here we're having baptism this after the service. So I'll try to keep it on time. I'm ready to be baptized. No. I can't baptize you. You need to baptize me. And I've been telling these people there's one coming who's not just going to baptize with water, but with fire. There's a baptism of the Holy Ghost coming. He's going to do it. And now you're asking me to baptize you? Jesus said it must be done for righteousness. Jesus went out in the water. The Bible tells us this, that when Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened. One translation literally says rent, ripped. That silent heaven. 400 years of silence, and the heavens were opened, and the Spirit of God descended like a dove, not a dove, it ain't a bird, like a dove, and descended, rested, and remained on Jesus. And this is what the Father from heaven said. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. How many of you know after 400 years, God could have chosen to reveal himself any way he wanted to? You do understand there's a whole lot more to God than just Father. He could have chosen any way he wanted to reveal himself in that moment, but he revealed himself as a Father. He said, this is my beloved Son. Now be careful, because religion's going to jump in here and say, well, yeah, but that's Jesus. He's the only begotten Son. NIV even says only Son. I got a problem with that. Because Luke tells me Adam was a son of God. The Bible tells me he is the father of all spirits. I am, we just sang it, I am a son of God. Jesus is my big brother. Jesus said, by the way, the disciples followed Jesus for 3 years. The Bible tells me all the miracles he did, they couldn't put them in a book if they tried to. The world couldn't contain the books. Can you imagine what those guys saw? Can you imagine what they witnessed, what they experienced? If I'd have been one that day he walked on the water, I'd have probably said, hey, can you teach me that? I mean, that's pretty awesome. Can you teach me that? How about that day he broke bread, 5 little fish, 4 little loaves, broke the bread and fed the multitudes, had 12 baskets left over? I might would have said, hey, can you teach me that? Can you teach me that? But the Bible never records them asking him to teach them anything but one thing. What'd they say? Would you teach us to pray? Would you teach us how to have connection, relationship, communication, intimacy with the living Father? Would you teach us how to have the relationship that you have with God? They didn't ask for principles. They asked for presence. They didn't ask for truth. They asked for a person. Give me connection to the living God. Teach me to pray. What did Jesus do? You know the prayer we quote it all the time. First words, our what? Our who? Our Father. Father. He's revealed himself in the New Testament as a daddy, as a father. Now, I know and you know there's a whole lot more to God than this. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to put God in a box and say that's all he is. But he has chosen to reveal himself as a father. Why? Because sons need a daddy. Daughters need a daddy. You need a daddy. I need a daddy. I need a close, intimate, personal relationship with Father God, with Daddy. Religion interferes because it wants to bring up all the stuff of the Old Testament. But the New Testament reveals to me he is choosing to reveal himself now as Father. Failure of an earthly father is another major thing that interferes in my relationship with my heavenly Father. We've got daddies, we've got good daddies, we've got bad daddies, but even the best daddy cannot do what God can do. Even the best father fails to represent God in his true nature and his true character. So don't let the enemy accuse and blame your earthly father and let it hinder your relationship with your heavenly Father. Because I'm here to tell you, this daddy ain't nothing like your earthly daddy. This father doesn't treat you the way he did. This father doesn't deal with you the way he did. This father doesn't speak to you the way he did. This father is completely and totally different. This father is perfect. He's a good, good father. Y'all sing that one too. I know you do. That's who he is. Who we are. We're sons and daughters of that living God. He's our Father. Again, guys, you understand the principle, but I'm going after something deeper this week. It's not about principle. It's about the presence. I need him in my life.
on a daily, regular basis. So much stuff running through my head. I got notes, but I ain't even touched them. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel were led by a pillar, cloud by day, fire by night. Y'all remember that? They didn't move unless the cloud moved. When the cloud moved, they moved. How many of you would like to have something like that? I mean, can you make it that clear? I'm a simple guy. I would really like something that simple. You know, just wake up and look outside. Well, okay, that's where God wants me to go today. I'll follow that cloud. That's what they had. They needed something to eat. You need to eat? You walk outside your door and lay it on the ground is breakfast. Right? They had to go out every day and pick up manna. We know the word because we grew up in church, but what's manna? Literally means, what is this? I mean, it's like, there's nothing on earth like this. We have nothing to compare this to. What is this stuff? It's food from heaven. Every day, it's there. They pick it up and they eat it. You know the commandment. You know what it said. You only gathered enough for that day. If you had any left over, what happened to it? Had worms in it. Turned bad, soured, rotten. Except for the day before the Sabbath day. You could pick up enough that day and it lasts for 2 days. That's pretty awesome. Right? What's that got to do with us today? Here's what I believe God's teaching us. Jesus said, I am the bread from heaven. I am the bread from heaven. You want to remember your fathers in the wilderness. You want to claim to God the Father because of your genealogy and what God did for them back there. But I'm here to tell you, I am the bread of heaven. Just like them, daily, you and I have to gather our food. Do you hear me? Daily, we have to gather. Daily, we have to be in communion and in relationship with the living God. You can't live off of yesterday's manna. And boy, let me just be real with you, I have. You have to. Don't look at me all spiritual. How many times have I tried to live off of what I happened yesterday? But that contact with God I had yesterday, that relationship, that experience, that moment, that word, that truth, whatever it was that happened, it was powerful, it was awesome, and it changed me. But that was yesterday. Come on now. And again, I'm not here to bash you. I'm not here to beat you. I'm not here to step on your toes too hard. But yesterday's manna has worms in it. Yesterday's manna has turned sour. I need a daily interaction, connection, and communion with the living God. Principles without presence have no power. I got principles galore. I teach them. I love them. But the moment that changed me, the moment that truth came alive to me was yesterday. What's coming alive to me today? What am I receiving today? What am I living off of today? I have to have an intimate personal communion and connection with the living God daily. Are you with me? Again, I ain't trying to bash you. I ain't trying to hurt your feelings. But I have to get this understanding in my mind. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. To have a personal, intimate relationship with Him. Don't let religion, don't let the failure of an earthly father hinder you. You have to pursue intimacy with God every day. Intimacy is your responsibility. I read that in a book. I ain't that smart. I read it in a book.
But when I read it, it hit me right between the eyes. Intimacy is my responsibility. I'll be honest with you, I never really thought about it that way. I never owned it. I never took it as my responsibility. Can I be this real with you? I talk to God a lot. And I ask God questions. Sometimes He answers me. I don't hear God audibly. Ain't no little kids in here, are we? I'm trying to keep this PG. I'm a married man. Been married for 22 years. Men, occasionally, let me speak for you, man. Occasionally, your man would like it if you as the wife would pursue intimacy with the man. Amen. Come on, guys. You can amen that. She may give you a little elbow, but it's all right. Occasionally, it'd be nice if my wife, and she does, I'm not trying, you know, but it's not as often as I'd like it. Occasionally, it'd be nice if my wife pursued relationship with me. Can I be real with y'all? Here's another principle. I'm not going to teach this, but it's truth. Freedom comes from vulnerability. You want to be free? You got to get vulnerable. You got to get real. Me and my wife were in Kentucky at her. Y'all recording this too, Lord have mercy. Me and my wife were in Kentucky at her mother's and father's house over Thanksgiving this past year. And we was there for a little over a week. And one night, I was waiting, but she wasn't pursuing, so I decided to pursue. Are y'all all right with this conversation? I pursued, and it was not received the way I would have liked for it to have been received. I'm all about relationship. Remember, I teach this stuff. I got principles. But let me tell you what came into my mind, into my head, that I came into agreement with. All right. Let's see how long you can wait. I ain't going to touch you again till you come to me. I ain't say it. But in my head, that's what I came into agreement with. Now, I know this stuff. Who told you, right? You all remember that question? I know this stuff. Who told me? That wasn't God. That wasn't my own head. That was the devil. But I was in full agreement with it. This went on for 3-4 days. Every night I'm laying there. I'm just being real. All the while, I'm trying to pray about coming to talk to y'all. How many of you know it's kind of hard to hear from God when you're laying there listening to the devil? Come on now. I'm in agreement with the enemy. I'm in me and my wife's relationship. No, I'm fine. We smiling, kissing, bye. Hey, I love you. But we ain't tight. Relationship has been hindered because I got this mess in my mind and I'm hanging out with it. I'm agreeing with it. Y'all with me? I want you to put yourself here because I know I'm talking to some of you. I get up one morning, I'm like, God, why ain't I hearing from you? Why ain't I hearing from you? And He said, do you like it when your wife pursues you in relationship? Oh, boy, do I ever. Man, yeah, it makes me feel like $1 million. I'm a stud then, right? And sometimes God will hit you right between the eyes. And He said to me, how often do you pursue me in relationship and intimacy? Or maybe that ain't speaking to you, but it sure spoke to me. How often do we
lay there in the bed, so to speak, waiting on God to show up. Waiting on God to open heaven and speak truth. Waiting on God to have this encounter and this moment and this experience with a living God. We're waiting on God. Maybe God would like to be pursued. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us about a guy that God calls a man after his own heart. You remember that guy? David. I remind you, this is long before the Holy Spirit came on the scene. But David said, my heart pants after you like a deer panting after water. I know we got some dog hunters around here. Y'all seen them deer running with the mouth hanging, tongue hanging out of their mouth. That's the picture that comes to my mind. There's an old deer. He's just been running, running, running. He's about ready just to go down. Don't you know he'd love to get somewhere still and go out and get him a good cold drink of water? That's what David's saying. That's my heart. That's my longing. I'm pursuing relationship with you, God. He didn't have the Holy Spirit to guide and lead him the way we do. But still, he had a hunger and a desire and a passion to pursue after intimacy with the living God. Don't you think your daddy would appreciate it if you began to pursue him the way you want your wife to pursue you? The way you want your husband to pursue you? Don't you think? That's what God told me. So I had to go repent to my wife. I don't just teach this stuff, I do it. Baby, you remember when we was in Kentucky? And I love my wife because she's pretty truthful. She said, really? Really? All you know and all you teach, and you didn't think about what was going on in that moment and the stress I was under and all that was going on, and you're going to get that way and get all sideways because of that? I'm like, you're right. You're right. You are right. But we cleared the air, and I'm happy to report to you. Things are looking up at the Griffin House. Intimacy is important. Now, I'm not trying to be brash. I'm not trying to bring something crude into our relationship with God, but I'm here to tell you this relationship is even more intimate than physical intimacy with your spouse. There's nothing any more important. There's nothing any more intimate than this relationship with the living God. I need it. It's not a want. It's not a desire. It is a desperate need. Just like manna, I need it every day of my life. I need to pursue it. Now again, don't go black and white. Don't go principle on me, because all your life, I remember the song I was taught when I was a kid. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Y'all remember that song? Read your Bible, pray every day. You remember it. That's the way we've been taught. Can I ask you a question? You ain't got to raise your hand. How many of you read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day? Some of you do. Some of you are disciplined like that. Can I be honest with you? I don't. But I'm learning something. Maybe this will help you. I find that word, that verse that speaks to my spirit. And it feeds me. You know what I'm talking about? And I close my Bible. I may not pick that Bible back up for another week. But what am I doing? I'm chewing on the manna that he's given me. My mama, rest her soul, she's dead and gone now. She's with Jesus. But when I think of meditate, I think of my mama. The word meditate, literally, is like a cow ruminating, a cow bringing up the cud and chewing on it, right? By the way, did you know the Bible doesn't tell you to read your Bible every day? I challenge you to give me a scripture in this book that says you're supposed to read your Bible, pray every day. It ain't there. But the Bible does say to meditate on His Word night and day. So I'm meditating. I'm chewing. I'm ruminating like that old cow, bringing that cud back up, chewing on it and chewing on it. I ain't forgot about Mama. My mama loved, I say she loved, I realize now she probably was eating it because she wanted us to have something better, but my mama loved chicken wings. I love chicken wings. Be honest with you, that's my favorite piece. The chicken wing and the short thigh, just so you know if you want to take me out to lunch. But my mama would take that chicken wing and she would get every piece of meat. I mean, I could still hear her crunching on the cartilage. She'd suck it, and I mean, I'm not trying to be rude, but my mama would so remove every piece of nutrition from the bone, you could take it and throw it in front of the dog, and he'd just look at it like, what you want me to do with this? My mama didn't waste no chicken wing. You know what I'm talking about. That's the image that I carry with me when I chew on the Word of God. So my challenge to you today, we need to have communion and relationship with God. But I want to bring it out of the religious context that so many of us were raised in. Forget about read your Bible, pray every day. Can I say that? But get in the Word of God. Read it until you find a truth, a scripture, a word that speaks to your soul, speaks to your spirit. And then you ruminate, chew on that thing like my mama did the chicken wing. And continue in conversation with your Father around that truth, around that word. Build the intimacy, build the relationship with a living God through His Word. Because I'm here to tell you, the only way, we're going to get deeper into this, I do have some stuff to get to. The only way we're ever going to know God is through His Word. Through His Word. John 1, Jesus said this, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You remember that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's the Word? Jesus. What is a word? A word is what we use to depict an image. You ever thought about that? What is this? It's a cup. Of what? Come on, y'all need to talk so I can drink. What is this? A cup of... cup of water. Those words bring into your mind an image. That's what a word is. All the word is a way to bring into our mind an understanding. Now, I know there's words that we don't have images for, but follow with me. To bring into our mind an understanding. Jesus said, I am the Word. Become flesh. The Bible also says about Jesus that He is the exact representation of the Father. Jesus said, everything I say, I heard my Father say. Everything I do, I saw my Father do. He is the Word. Do you want to know the Father? Get to know Jesus. Do you want to know the Father? Get to know the Word. What did God say? What did Jesus say? Dig into this Word. Find truth. Meditate on it. I got a lot of Word I'm going to bring you the next few nights. We're going to meditate. We're going to drill into the Word to get to know our Father. There are a few things I want to say before we're done. If we don't know God, we can't know ourselves. We're in an identity crisis. If I'm ever going to have a true identity, I got to know my daddy. Because if I don't know him, I'll never know who I am. Are you with me?
second to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, your identity is the most important thing you have. I'm going to say that again because it's important.
Second to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, your identity is the most important thing you have.
Why? Because out of your identity, everything flows. Your identity dictates your activities, your responses, your thoughts, your abilities. Ultimately, everything you say and do flows from your identity. For this reason, Satan's goal is to find any opportunity to distort how you see and feel about yourself. Because he knows. He knows that if he can get you to adopt an inaccurate or a partial view of who you are in your identity, you will eventually bring this flawed identity into your families, into your business, into your church, into everywhere you go. That makes sense? It's going to happen. The only way to have a proven and secure identity is to see the identity of God. Philippians 3:10, Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know him. It is critical that we understand God as he truly is and not as we have made him to be in our own minds. Would you agree with me? We probably got some screwed up ideas of who God is. I love to ask people that question. Tell me about, well, I don't believe in God. You ever hear one of these people? Well, tell me about the God you don't believe in. And they start telling me, well, I don't believe in that God either. Because most of the time, the God that we have in mind is not the God of the Bible. It's not how he has revealed himself. Are you with me? Too many people feel they understand God because of a few brief encounters with him. I know my time's up. Y'all usually get out by 12. How much more time I got? I'm gonna hush just a minute. People believe we know who God is because of a few brief encounters. I've had some encounters with God, have you? But let's just be honest. In my own life, and in most people's lives that I talk with, there are few brief encounters. I'm not living, most people I know, most people I engage and interact with are not living on a regular, daily, experiential relationship with God. Now maybe I'm in the wrong crowd. I don't think so. Most of us have a moment here, a moment there, another moment over here, and those brief encounters with God develop within our minds who God is. That's pretty flawed thinking. You with me? I listened to a podcast recently. I love The Art of Manliness. Anybody wants to check it out? It's great stuff. The Art of Manliness. I listened to a recent podcast of a biographer who wrote a biography of Ronald Reagan. And the podcast, the guy interviews the biographer and they talk about the book. And I was amazed. I thought I knew Ronald Reagan, right? But the information that this guy brought forth gave me so much more insight into who Ronald Reagan was. And I'm like, man, that was awesome. I'm so glad I listened to this. Now I know more about Ronald Reagan. But how many of you know I don't know Ronald Reagan? I think that's a whole lot of how we know God. We're raised in church. We got tons of little stories. And thank God for the stories. Thank God for Flannelgraph. Y'all still have Flannelgraph? All the Flannelgraph pictures of when I was a kid, the stories of God, the things that I was taught, the things that I experienced in church. But most of it is just principle. And there was no presence. I just gained knowledge. I just gained some understanding. It wasn't until I was 21 years old that I had my first true encounter with the living God. And he radically saved me. I'm talking about awesome, radical conversion. Some of y'all had one too. But that's one brief encounter with the living God. I lived on that one brief encounter for a while, not realizing
that there's a whole lot more than living off of what happened to me when I was 21 years old. Are you with me? So I began to get around some folks who had a little more going on than I did. And I realized, you know what, there's more to be known of God. There's more to experience of God. And I began to dive into the Word. I began to pray. I began to seek God. And I started having a little more encounters and experiences with God. Are you with me? But they're just little brief encounters, brief moments. You know what I want? You know what I'm trying to pursue? And maybe this is too much. Maybe I'm just out of pipe dream. But I'm pursuing a daily experiential relationship with my Father. I don't believe Jesus died on the cross just so I could go to heaven, not hell. I don't believe Jesus died on the cross just so I could have an experience at 21 years old and get born again. I don't believe Jesus died on the cross just so occasionally in the right atmosphere, in the right setting, with the right preacher, I get some goosebumps. I don't believe that that's all this is about. I believe when Jesus says the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, I believe what he's saying is there is an opportunity for you and I to have an ongoing, daily, experiential, presence-by-present experience with the living God. It's a reality. I'm not living off principles. I want to live off of presence. Are you with me? I want to know God. Paul said, I want to know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know him. And I'm inviting you into a relationship with the living God. If you're not born again, by sure, that's the first place you got to start. You've got to have that experience that I had at 21. You've got to start there. But I'm telling you, there's so much more that you and I are missing out on because we're not pursuing an intimate, personal relationship with a living father, a daddy who loves us. We live like orphans. We live like we don't have a daddy. We live like I only run to him when I need something. God forbid. That's a good daddy that takes care of us when we need something. Hallelujah. But my Father's so much more than that. Are you with me, guys? Come on. Your Father wants you to know him and be known of him. He wants an intimate personal relationship on a daily basis. Presence over principle. There's one scripture. This is going to be my toe stomper and I'm done. One scripture always scared the dickens out of me. Jesus said, there'll be those who stand before me. And they'll say, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We healed the sick. We did all these works in your name. And he said, I will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Do you hear me, guys? Thank God for principles. They are important. I live them. I teach them. But I do believe the word that God gave for me to bring to you today, principles without presence have no power. I need the presence of a living God. I want to know him and be known of him. My Father knows me, ain't no doubt. But how much do I know him? How much intimacy am I pursuing relationship with the living God? And I know there's a lot of stuff that interferes. We'll talk about some of that as we move ahead. But that's what I want to focus on the next three nights with you guys. I want us to begin to understand who he is through the Word of God, what he has invited us into through the Word of God, so that as we know him, we can begin to know ourselves, so that we can walk in the true identity as a son and a daughter of God that he has given us. Because here's the kicker. No matter how much we know him, we represent him everywhere we go.
This challenges me. I represent him to my wife and to my kids every day. I represent him to that cashier that I see every day at the store. I represent him everywhere I go. And the representation that I am projecting is dependent upon my knowledge of him. I'm here to tell you, most of us project a faulty view of who God is. Our identity does not match his identity for us because we don't know who he is. We'll never know ourselves until we know him. My time's up. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to be here today in your presence. I thank you that your presence is with us every moment of every day. I thank you, Father, that you have done everything possible to bring us to a place. The Bible tells me that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's the simple gospel. Father, if there's anybody in this room today who does not know you, who's never trusted in Jesus as their Savior, who's received the full pardon of their sins because of his sacrifice, God, I pray that today is the day that they would open their hearts to receive your Son. But God, not just for salvation, but to enter into a personal, intimate relationship with a loving Father who wants to daily walk with us, daily guide us, much better than a pillow of cloud and fire, but by an indwelling presence and spirit that we can intimately know on a personal, daily basis. God, I pray that everybody in this room would take the next step towards knowing you fuller and deeper. Let it be, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.